You can have a seat. Good morning. Well, we are 3 weeks into a new series called Servants and the Lord, where we are exploring what does it mean to be a servant of the Lord? What does that mean for each of us individually as a body? How do we do that well? And it's part of a bigger overall focus this entire year of 2024. We are in the year of the Lord here at Celebrate, where we are exploring what it means that God is the Lord. What does that mean in our lives? So Jed kicked us off a couple weeks ago in this series and just asked a really simple question. Do we serve the way that Jesus served? If you were to look at your own life and your activities and your day-to-day, do you serve like Jesus did? And he invited the team that went on the mission trip to Abaco up on the stage. We got to hear from them firsthand what it was like to be on the ground in Abaco, to actually be living something like this out, to be serving the Lord, serving people. And what I was so struck by, probably the thing I was most struck by with that group that day, was how all of them, when asked, you know, would you encourage people to go do something like this, even though some of them had a lot of anxiety about it, a lot of doubt on whether or not they were being called to go, they all said yes, just go, because of the ways that they saw the Lord moving and working and what they felt they were able to take away as they served in that role. And then last week, Andrew kicked off his message, which I really enjoyed, going through many different scriptures in the Bible, listening to the early church leaders and how they addressed themselves in their communications and letters and conversations as servants of Jesus. A lot of those big names that we recognize, like Paul and Peter and Timothy and other people whose names aren't as familiar to us, people who Jesus would have called friends, were identifying themselves as servants of Jesus. And so I've been thinking about that this week. Is that how I would identify myself? Is that how I would introduce myself to someone else, is as a servant of Jesus? And this week, we get to look at a parable of Jesus, one of the parables he told. And parables were used for Jesus to be able to give spiritual lessons to people. He shared stories that he used the context of their day to make it easier for them to understand and kind of easier to grasp these concepts, these moral concepts, these spiritual lessons that he was giving. So the verses I was given for today actually come right after the parable Jesus told. So I'm going to share these verses with you. And then we're going to back it up, and we're going to talk about the actual story he told. So we are in Luke 16. This starts with verse 10. We're going to put it up on the screen for you. You can follow along. It says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourself in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight." So I want to back up to the story that happened right before Jesus saying these things. It's called the parable of the shrewd manager. And Jesus is telling this to his disciples. And I'm not going to read you the full scripture. I'm just going to basically tell you the story of what had happened. So there was a wealthy man. And this wealthy man had what was called a manager or a steward. And back in the Middle Eastern culture, this was really common back in those times. So these wealthy people had someone who was in charge of their business transactions, basically. They looked over the estate. They made decisions regarding the household servants, the distribution of goods. They did this for the wealthy man on his behalf. This person was a big deal. Likely, in this culture, he would have lived with his master. So what happened was the wealthy man discovered that his manager was wasting his possessions, is what the Bible says. Jesus doesn't really explain what he was doing to waste those possessions, just that he was wasting the possessions. So the master called him in, and he basically said, "I can't believe you're doing this. You're fired." you're done. I can't trust you anymore. So the man began to panic a little bit. Not only was he going to be losing his job, he was likely going to be losing his home. So he started to think, what can I do to secure myself outside of this place? I need to make some friends. I need to find a place where I'm going to be able to live and go on. So he started bringing people in that owed his master money, and he started cutting deals with them. So he brought somebody in, and he said, so you owe, what, 900 gallons of oil? Let's make it 450. Or you owe 1,000 bushels of wheat? What do you say, 800? So this would today be like if someone came up to you and said something about your mortgage or a car payment, maybe like, so you owe $15,000 on that car? What if we made it $8,000? This would kind of, you would probably let that guy come stay on your couch, right? If he did something like that for you. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to secure a home for himself outside of this place. And so what happened was the master found out about it. But instead of being really angry, he was impressed. He was impressed that this man was so shrewd. So what does that say about that master? It was just kind of a whole toxic situation all around. And so this is the story Jesus shared when he goes into verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever's dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches or heavenly riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? So this morning, I'm gonna do something that I've never done in a message before, just because I think it's necessary. This morning, we were talking about money, and it's hard. It's hard to talk about money. So I'm going to ask you for like an umbrella of compassion over me this morning, umbrella of mercy, if you will, because I want to share what I feel like the Lord has put on my heart with you. But I think it's not going to be easy to hear at times. And maybe the Lord is just speaking to me and one like my husband. Maybe it's just the two of us. I don't know. I feel like it's for most of us, if not all of us. So I'm going to try to share in a way where I'm telling you what I feel like the Lord said. But then I'm also just opening up an invitation for you to explore this with the Lord this week. Get into this passage. Pray about it. Talk to God and figure out what this means in your life, because it's going to look different. It's going to look different for everybody, and everybody's going to have different opinions about the things that the Bible says, about things that I share. So we're not going to talk the whole time about money, thank goodness, but this parable starts with money, so that's where we're going to start today. So umbrella, I might refer to that a few times this morning. The truth is Jesus actually talked about money quite a bit. In the Bible, the whole Bible, there's about 2,000 verses that talk about money, which I did not know. That's actually double what the Bible talks about, faith and prayer combined. So it's pretty significant. If you look at Jesus' teachings, about 15% of his teachings covered money. And I think I can say this because I'm not the lead pastor. I don't think we talk about money a lot here. I don't think we do. I don't think we're pushy. I don't think we put it out there a lot. I feel like we're transparent, but I don't feel like we're pushy about money. I mean, we don't even pass offering plates anymore. Don't know if you knew that. We have boxes in the back, but we don't, I just don't feel like we talk about it a lot. We trust that God's going to provide for the needs of this ministry, and through generous givers, he does. He does that. He provides. But I don't think that means we can ignore what Jesus says about money in our lives. I feel like if we're talking about being servants of the Lord, and that's the series we are in, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a servant of the Lord when it comes to our money? So that's what we're going to explore. We're going to start with Psalm 24. We're going to put this up here on the screen for you. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." So if we look at that verse and we line it up with this parable today, basically it's saying that God is that wealthy man. And we are his stewards. We are his managers. And how are we going to handle that kind of responsibility? I remember when Russ and I were first married, really young. We lived in a little tiny house over on, get my bearings here, Chappelle. So down that way by the VFW. And I was, at the time of this conversation that we had, I was really pregnant with Claire. And we went on walks all the time. So our house butted right up against, we had neighbors in the back that lived on Lincoln Street. So we would walk from Lincoln all the way down to Attica Road and back multiple times. And we had our best conversations on those walks where we would just dream and hope and plan for the future and look at houses and all the things. And one of those times on those walks, we were talking about a sermon that we had recently heard that was about tithing. And tithing was not a foreign concept to either one of us. We had both grown up in the church, so we had heard that word before and what that meant. But it was new to us in our marriage, how we were going to handle tithing together as a couple and how that was going to look. And as we were talking, we recalled that in the message, the person had said, just start small, wherever you are. It can be 1% of your income. It can be 5%. Whatever you feel comfortable with, just start there. And we were talking about that, and we knew that the Bible said that 10% is considered the tithe. And so being young, we were just like, you know what? We're going to start right now. We're going to start tithing, and we're going to do 10%. We're just going to jump right in. And we did not have a lot of money at the time. We just didn't. I mean, the decision for us to do that was very easy. It probably wasn't very logical at the time, because the truth was we had just bought this house that was stretching us. We had come from a little apartment to this house that we were now paying for. I was very pregnant. I was working part-time at the time, but we knew that I was going to be not working because I was going to be staying home with Claire. And Russ was working multiple jobs just to kind of keep us afloat. So it wasn't like we had all of this extra money lying around that we just hadn't decided what to do with it. Okay, so let's give it to the church. No, this was going to be a sacrifice for us. And not long after we wrote that first check, we experienced one of those moments where you hear, my mom always said, you can't outgive God. And we had one of those moments. Because after we had written that check, we got some, and I wish I could remember the details. Since I hit 40, I just can't remember certain things. But I remember we got a check from somewhere. It was some sort of a refund or something that was the exact amount of that check that we had written to the church. And it was one of those bizarre things like, whoa. We felt like the Lord was saying, I've got you. I will provide for you. I will take care of all your needs. So does that mean that for the last 22 years, our life has been trouble-free financially? Heck no. Like, we've had stuff. We've gone through seasons where we're paying off endless medical bills or, you know, college debt. Things go wrong with the house. We have owned two different homes that flooded more than once. Like, it has not always been easy, and it's not like just this money is growing on trees outside of our house. We've had to make choices. Does it mean that we've gotten every worldly possession we've ever wanted? No. Ask my husband. He wants a truck so bad he can taste it, and it's just not going to happen. And not in this season. Like, man, there's so many other places we have to spend our money right now. We haven't gotten everything we've ever wanted. And we've had to say no a lot to our kids. We've had to say no to, different trips. And I mean, all the things. We've had to learn how to manage our money well. I'm not saying you need to do it just like we did it. But what I am saying is I can stand up here and tell you that the Lord has been faithful. In all these years, he's been so good, and he's never not provided for what we've needed. So Jesus goes on to say in verse 13, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We can't serve both. We have to choose. We're going to be a servant to one or a servant to the other. And in the Life Application Bibles, I was prepping for this, they have a really cool footnote on this verse, on verse 13. They actually give, they say, how do you tell if you're a slave to money? And then they give a list of questions. So we're going to put these up on the screen. Umbrella of protection, umbrella of mercy. I'm not asking you these questions to bring shame or anything like that. Just something for you to consider. How would you answer these questions if you were to ask yourself? The first one, do I think and worry about money frequently? Is money one of the things that's on my mind most often? Do I give up doing what I should do or what I would like to do in order to make more money? Does money come first in my life? Do I spend a great deal of time caring for my possessions? I thought that one was really interesting. What do I value? What do I give most of my time to? Is it hard for me to give money away? Do I have a kind of a hoarding mindset or a fear mindset? Like if I give away what I have, what if I don't have enough for my family? And am I in debt? I think most of us would answer yes to most, if not all, of these questions. And like I said, I don't think they wrote these to have us feel guilty or shame or anything like that, because that's not from the Lord. I think they're just designed to make us think and consider how our mind works when it comes to money. Because here's the thing. The Bible tells us that we are supposed to be wise with the financial opportunities that we've been given. We're supposed to be faithful stewards, not shrewd managers. And this is not something we do to earn heaven. I want to make that clear. It's not one of those like things on the Christian checklist that you have to check to make sure you get into heaven. I read this somewhere in my preparation. I can't remember where now, but I've been thinking about it a lot this week. It said, what if through our good stewardship, someone is introduced to heaven? What if God is trying to work through us and what he has given us that is already his? What if he's wanting to bless someone through us and they get to meet the Lord for the first time and now all of a sudden heaven is a possibility for them? What if we looked at our money like that? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. It's not ours to hold on to so tightly. So verse 14, the Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourself in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight. God's not concerned with the measure of the wealth that we have, how much we have. He's concerned with the condition of our hearts. I want to put a quote up here for you. This is from John MacArthur. He said, circumstances don't determine faithfulness. Character does. So what does our character say about us? Do we trust God in all things? Are we faithful? Because faithfulness is a heart issue. And that's what he's looking at. If we aren't responsible with what he's given us, why would he ever give us more? Why would he ever trust us with more? And I think churches often see this in financial giving. I have had so many conversations through the years, just because money tends to come up a lot in conversations. But with my family, with friends, with people in small groups, in sermon series, conversation groups, money just tends to come up sometimes. And I've had people, Russ and I've had people tell us that they disagree with what we believe about tithing. People argue over, do you tithe net versus gross? Do you tithe the full 10%? We've actually had people in our lives tell us before, when we've been going through hard seasons financially, to stop tithing because that would free up that extra money and that God would just understand. We've had people tell us that before. I've heard people say, well, if I had more money, I would give more money. And that's just not necessarily true. I've heard people talk about like serving in money kind of interchangeably from both directions. So, well, I give to the church. So I really don't need to serve. I mean, I don't need to be in the nursery or wherever, you know, helping with race parking, because I give money. But on the same side, on the other side, I've heard people say, well, I serve a lot, so I'm going to count that as my financial tithe because of the time I give. However you look at it, whatever you believe the Bible is saying, it all comes down to being a heart issue. If you believe in something, if you are invested in something, you're going to give your time, your talent, your energy, all of it to that. And if you're not invested, that's not where you're going to put yourself, right? If you don't believe in it. Jesus pointed to the poor widow in the Bible and how she gave all she had. For God's heart to be moved, it wasn't the amount of money she gave. It was the fact that she gave all she had. It was about her heart in that moment, her trust with him in that moment. So if we are being irresponsible and mishandling what God has given us, why would he bless us with any more? I think parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles in the room, anybody who has relationship with children may understand this. If you have a child in your life and you give them a toy and they break it just like that, like intentionally break it, and you give them another toy and they break it again. Or you give them a jar of paint and they spill it all over the floor purposefully. Are you going to be very quick to run out to the store and buy them another toy? Or are you going to say, no, you're going to play with what you've got. That's what I gave you. So for us, it's similar. We have to keep in mind that the Lord sometimes looks at us like little kids. I have to tell myself that. If I want to be trusted with more, I have to be faithful in the little he's given me already. Faithfulness is not flashy. We're not going to stand out in fame, most likely, or be in headlines. It's quiet. It's slow. It's steady. And it can lead to a really, really good life, one that's full of joy and purpose and meaning, and having just what we need. It's not all about the abundance that we see, especially in our world today, in our country at least. And one day we're going to have to give an account. We're going to have to stand before the Lord, our master, and give an account for what we did with what he gave us. And I guarantee, I 100% can guarantee that you're not going to stand before the Lord and feel bad about what you did give, about giving too much money or too much time to him and his kingdom. You're not going to feel bad in that moment. Last Sunday, we closed worship with a song called Send Me. And the last chorus has been just playing in my head all week long. And I don't know if you were here, so I'm gonna tell you what the last couple lines of this, the lines in this last verse are. It says, when I'm standing in your glory, I'll be glad I chose to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Well done, good and faithful, I live to hear you say. So I've been thinking about this week. Am I living to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant? So in this parable, Jesus is talking about money. And I do think we need to consider that. I think we all, each one of us, I would encourage every single one of you to pray about that this week. Ask the Lord, how am I doing in that area, God? How can I do better? Where can I be a better steward? That's not all that I want to talk about this morning. I kind of want to look at it as more of a whole, because if I'm going to be a steward or manager for God's possessions, what does that mean? What does that look like in my life? What exactly am I responsible for? Is it just money? So I want to think about it this way. I want to think about what of mine actually belongs to God. And if we were to go back to Psalm 24, everything is the Lord's, right? Everything in the earth. But there are also places in the Word where he addresses specific things. And we don't have time this morning to go through all of these. I'm not going to read all of these verses to you. I'm just going to point out where they are. So in Haggai, it says, your money belongs to God. In Ezekiel, it talks about your soul belongs to God. And in Romans, your life belongs to God. So it's more than just our money. It's our time, our resources, our talent, our possessions. It's all of us. It belongs to God, and it's been loaned to us with the expectation that there are going to be dividends when we get to the end of our life, that we're going to take what we have and not just hang on to it well, but we're going to make it grow. Things are going to come from it. It's not given to us just to buy a truck. Man, I'm going to pay for that later. And it was, dang it. It was like coming out and I was like, don't say it. And I said it. It's not given to us to keep up with the Joneses, right? So I want to share a quote from John Wesley. He was the founder of the Methodist Church. This is a strong quote. So this is where I'm going to need a big ol' umbrella over me. These are not my words. So just remember that. But I think there's something to what he's saying. Do you not know that God entrusted you with that money? So he's talking about all above what buys the necessities for your family. To help feed the hungry, clothe the naked, to help the stranger, the widow, the fatherless, and indeed, as far as it will go, to relieve the wants of all mankind. Here's the strong part. How dare you defraud the Lord by applying it to any other purposes? That's really strong. But I've been thinking all week. So what of mine belongs to the Lord. In short, it's everything. My relationships, my property, my possessions, my life, it's all His. When we shift to that mindset, even though it's hard, it makes it a lot easier to give things away. So if we think about this in the context of time, our time, we are given a set amount of time here on this earth. The Lord knows what it is. It's not like there's some heavenly computer that's just generating random times for all of us. We have a set amount of time. In Psalm 139, it says, "In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me." Yet so many of us, including myself, I am talking to myself here, we live after we are saved as though this is just a waiting room for heaven. We fill our time with just aimless distractions, sometimes good things, but we don't recognize that, at least I don't. We've only got a few short years here to invest wisely what He has given to us. And it always seems like the things that have like an eternal benefit or kingdom benefit, we just don't seem to have time for those things. We've always got time for one more episode, one more book, one more sports game, for the things we really want to do, right? I think the same is true for our energy. I think we live in a lazy culture these days where some of us are just far too careful. We don't want to overdo it. We don't want to burn ourselves out, right? We don't want to put too much on our plates. And I think for some people, there is a problem. They struggle with doing too much all the time and they don't rest. I think that is very real for some people. But I think for the majority of people, we kind of just claim the, I don't want to burn out, I guess is the word. I just don't want to burn out on things. So we use it as an excuse. We can't go to church Sunday morning because we're up really late on Saturday night. Or I can't serve at this week because we've just got a really busy week with the kids ahead. I just don't have time for it. So we spend our time not doing bad things necessarily. Some things are really, really good. But a good steward sometimes has to say no to really good things to say yes to kingdom things. So I think we just need to be mindful of that. Because when Jesus returns, like I said, I don't think one of us are going to feel a bit sorry for the time we invested in the kingdom, for what we gave to Him. When I'm standing in your glory, I'll be glad I chose, right? And Jesus says, those who are faithful in little are given much. It's pretty explicit that faithfulness in this life is going to reap lots of benefits in the next. It says in Matthew 25, this is the NLT version, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance. But for those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. They say actions speak louder than words, right? So it's one thing to say, I trust God. But when we put all of who we are, our money, our time, our energy, our words, where our mouth is, it's kind of the true result of whether or not we really trust the Lord. Am I willing to give up an hour of sleep to spend time with the Lord? Will He really sustain me through the day if I do that? If I give financially when I don't think that I can, is He going to make ends meet for me? If I give up the hoarding mindset or the fear mindset, giving too much away and just instead have open hands, will He provide for my needs? This is a big trust thing. It's a giant leap of faith, and it's hard. It's really hard. But when we invest these entrusted resources for the kingdom, we are being faithful Christian stewards. That's what it looks like. We are telling the world that God is worthy to be trusted and that He shows up. When they can see what we are willing to give, what we are willing to give up, other people can see Him in that. So we're going to start to wrap. I want to steer us back to the application steps that actually Andrew gave us last week. I think they were really good. I think they still apply this week. And so if you didn't have an opportunity to do them, or if you weren't here with us last week, we're going to put them back up and have you consider them into this coming week. The first one is take in and apply God's word. Like I said before, money is a really hard thing to talk about. It's really, really personal. So You may not be sure of something that I said this morning. You may not agree, and that's okay. There's an invitation there for you to spend time with the Lord this week. Spend time in this passage. Go to the back of your Bible and look at money and go through the Bible. See what he says. And then just ask him, God, are there ways that I could do better? Are there things that I'm doing well? And he'll bring that to light for you. Second one is serve your family. It's pretty self-explanatory. However that looks for you, whatever ways you can serve, do that. Service celebrate. Today is the first day that we are going to have our service table set up. So it's going to be right out these double doors. And over the next few weeks, we're going to have different staff members at the table. Judd is up today, so you can go chat with Judd. We're going to have different opportunities that you can serve here at the church. And Andrew mentioned last week, we have more people here and we have less volunteers. There's a lot of ministry that happens here, and the staff does a lot, and they are incredible, but they can't do it all. We need your help. We need your time, your energy to give to things here at the church. So go check out what some of the opportunities are right now and see if the Lord is directing you to one of those. And then serve in our community. RAGBRAI is coming very quickly in a couple weeks. And if you got our newsletter on Friday, you probably saw that the city is looking for about 800 volunteers. And at the time, they were at about 200. So they need a lot of help just to be welcoming to people who are coming into our community and to sit at booths and help with cleanup and all those things. What if we all did that? What if we just all went on the website? There's a link in the newsletter. And what if we just clicked on it and signed up for a two-hour slot? That would be incredible to be able to see each other out there doing what Jesus would be doing if he was here with us in person. Here's the question I've been sitting with this week, and I want to put it before you too. We're going to put it up on the screen, so if you want to take a picture of it, if you want to write it down, so as you're spending time with the Lord, you can just ask this question. Am I willing to lay everything I have before the Lord and give my life as an offering? Am I willing? Are you willing to lay everything I have before the Lord and give my life as an offering? Not just my money, but including my money. I said it already. It's tough to do this. It's a daily surrender. But I can tell you that you can trust him. He's a faithful father and he provides. Even in the midst of really hard seasons in our marriage, not necessarily between the two of us, he's looking at me like, what? But hard seasons you go through, you know, financially and kids and all the things that come up, where tithing would have been a really easy thing to give up. It would have freed up cash. It would have helped in certain situations. And it was tempting. We've had conversations before about that. Maybe we just need to stop tithing for a few months and save up that money so we can do this or get this or whatever we need. We've never done it yet. Since that day on that walk 20 years ago, God's been faithful, and he's always provided, and often in abundance, stuff that we weren't even expecting. He just blesses with. It's amazing the way that he supernaturally just brings increase to everything. Your time, your energy, your money, when you faithfully give. He brings increase. And I feel like this has happened for us so many times in our marriage that I can very confidently stand up here and tell you that that's how it is, because we've experienced it so many times over and over. Even in the simple, like, I have a day at home, and so I have a laundry list of things that I need to get done, and so many things that I don't have time in my day to probably get all those things done. But I battle the internal in the morning. Okay, do I spend an hour with the Lord? Do I read? Do I, you know, pray? Do I do those things? Or do I just get right going in my to-do list? And the days I make the choice to spend time with the Lord, it is like my day expands. I don't even know how it happens, but typically not only do I get all those things done on my list, I have extra space in my day. And that is not something that I can do. That is a supernatural gift from the Lord where he is just bringing increase. So when I find myself struggling with this whole concept, because I struggle with it too, like even though we've done that, that doesn't mean that this is easy or that this just comes naturally or I do it super well all the time, because that's just not the case. When I find myself struggling with this mentally and trying to not hold on to things that I feel like should be able to be just mine. I remind myself of all the ways he's shown up for us in the past. This is when journaling comes in really handy. If you just write down the things that you see God doing when he blesses you, and you can go back and look at those things, man, that's helpful. Just to remind ourselves over and over to be in kind of that posture of thanksgiving. Or I think about Jesus. He gave up everything. He gave up his life for each of us. No questions asked, he just did it. And when I think about those things, whatever it is that I'm trying to hold on to doesn't seem so big anymore. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up, and we're just going to close in prayer. I want to allow for some space for you just to sit with the Lord, to start that conversation with him. What does this look like in our lives for you individually? So if you would just bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're comfortable sitting with your hands out in kind of just a posture of openness to the Lord and what he might wanting to be saying to you this morning, you are welcome to do that as well. Let's pray. So Father, you are so good. You are a giver of good gifts. You are the perfect provider, a sustainer. God, you bring increase. And we are thankful for that this morning. And God, I pray that over the next few moments in the quiet, would you gently begin speaking to each of us? Maybe it's in a picture or a word or a verse, God, however that looks. Would you show us? What are we doing well? What are you pleased with? By our faithfulness? And God, where is a place in our lives where we could do better? God, I ask that this week you would be near. Would you bring reminders of your faithfulness to us? Ways that you have provided before. Ways that you brought increase before. God, would you give us courage to take a step of faith, whatever it looks like, God, for each of us. Whatever you are calling us to, would you help us to take that first step in the coming days? We love you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen.